Today's topic has been in the news all over North Carolina counties. The headline read in a recent Smoky Mountain News article by Corey Valancourt, Haywood commissioners get an earful on Second Amendment sanctuary status, which led to a decision that was made back on Monday. To talk about all of this is that staff writer, Corey Valancourt. Good morning.
Hey, Paul.
Please break down for our audience, especially those that may not be that familiar with what it means when we say Second Amendment sanctuary status.
I think it's important to talk about the background of these resolutions and how they originated. A number of states have passed such Second Amendment sanctuary resolutions already, but they really started to gain steam this past year when the entire state of Virginia government went fully Democratic. Democrats were emboldened with their new authority, and they started passing some gun control measures that a lot of folks didn't like. So counties and municipalities in Virginia have started to pass Second Amendment sanctuary resolutions, which basically affirm that they won't enforce laws that they feel are unconstitutional. So as of this point, we have over 100 municipalities or local governments in Virginia that had passed them. That all culminated with a rally on MLK Day in Richmond that was largely peaceful, but it was a demonstration against the encroachment on Second Amendment rights.
Going back some weeks ago, didn't you report that at that time commissioners all expressed support for the creator-endowed right to bear arms as guaranteed by the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution? What they didn't do was express explicit support for a standalone sanctuary resolution. Did I understand that correctly?
That's right, Paul. I think it's also important to note that there's a difference between supporting the Second Amendment and supporting Second Amendment sanctuary resolution. Now, there are a number of good reasons not to pass one, namely that they're only symbolic. They won't stop the government from enforcing the laws that are duly passed by the legislature. However, proponents say that it's an important statement on community values, and it's better to be preemptive, getting your opinion out there and known to legislators, than waiting for them to pass something that you don't like. A lot of folks that I talked to said that waiting until legislative measures threaten Second Amendment rights to pass a sanctuary resolution is a lot like putting your seatbelt on after the car crash.
With this issue, of course, comes different opinions. Let me ask you about the opinion of one Haywood County Sheriff, Greg Christopher.
Well, the reason Greg's opinion is important is that in Virginia, as they pass these resolutions, everyone wants to know what the sheriff thinks, because ultimately in the enforcement of a lot of these laws comes down to the county sheriff. And in Virginia, you have a number of sheriffs saying that they would absolutely refuse to devote resources to enforcing laws that they feel are unconstitutional. Now, there's a pretty clear problem with that, and Greg Christopher outlined it brilliantly. He said, sheriffs are not empowered to interpret the constitutionality of any law. So basically what he said was he had taken an oath to uphold the Constitution of North Carolina and the Constitution of the United States, and those laws as they currently exist.
Residents who support this amendment, what have been some of the reasons they give?
As I said earlier, waiting to pass a Second Amendment sanctuary resolution until after the rights to bear arms are already threatened is not a good idea in the minds of many of these folks. And so they are all about getting these out there. When I first interviewed commissioners about this topic in early January, only two counties had passed such resolutions, Cherokee County in the far western part of the state, and then Rutherford County. Since then, we have had at least 20 counties pass Second Amendment sanctuary resolutions, and like in Haywood and in Macon County, there have been a number of meetings where citizens have come to express support for resolutions, even though there was no such thing on the agenda.
Corey, I don't think any of us will soon forget the name of Riley Howe. His name was actually brought up during these recent meetings. Of course, the young man who was shot and killed at UNC Charlotte. He attended college there. He jumped up in front of the gunman at the time, saved other lives when he lost his own.
That's right, Paul. About a year ago, I got to tell your listeners about the heroic acts of Riley Howell on April 30th, where he charged a school shooter who walked into a classroom. He did lose his life, but even Charlotte police said that he probably saved many, many others. So it was a bit of a shock when all of the speakers were making their way to the podium and expressing their opinions when they called out the name of his mother, Natalie Henry Howell, and she got up and she urged, I guess, some restraint or some sober thought on the issue. She didn't explicitly oppose such a resolution, But she mentioned one of the things that they've been trying to do in Virginia, which is ban extended magazines. Well, that had a direct impact on her son. He was killed with the final rounds from an extended magazine. And theoretically, it goes to say that if the shooter did not have access to those magazines, he may have had to stop or reload, or maybe he would have been finished. So it's quite possible that Riley Howell would still be with us today, along with the other young man who was killed in that shooting, if extended magazines were not available for civilian use. Mrs. Howell also called for tighter background checks because the shooter in that instance, he should not have had access to a gun. So these are two issues at the very heart of these resolutions where if we're going to talk about reasonable gun control, those seem to be two fairly reasonable measures that we can demonstrate took the life of a young man, a young hero. However, the right to bear arms is still at the forefront of many of the proponents of these resolutions. And so after Mrs. Howell spoke, she was given a standing ovation, but then the parade of speakers continued. Almost every single one of them continued to press for a Second Amendment sanctuary resolution in Haywood County.
Let me now bring up a certain commissioner, Mark Pless, his take on this.
I've talked to Commissioner Pless a number of times about this, and he's very contemplative and has a very big picture idea of it. Certainly he's a Second Amendment supporter, but he seems to be pretty lukewarm on a resolution. A few weeks ago, I said, will you pass a Second Amendment sanctuary resolution? And he said, if you're asking me to do that, even though it's already enshrined in the Constitution, doesn't that mean that I am afraid that our Constitution is at risk of being encroached upon? He said, what's going to happen next? Are people going to come back next week and ask us to pass a resolution on the freedom of religion or free speech or freedom of the press? So he has a very high-minded, I guess, analysis of this situation where I'm sure that he is probably a supporter of the Second Amendment, but he may not be all that hot on a Second Amendment sanctuary resolution.
All of my interview with Corey had been pre-recorded in advance of a Monday meeting. Now Corey gives us an update on that.
On Monday, February 3rd, commissioners presented a resolution that wasn't exactly a Second Amendment sanctuary resolution. It was a resolution declaring Haywood to be a Constitution-protecting county. And what that means is that commissioners have the same intent as these Second Amendment resolutions, but they're applying it to the entire Constitution, all 27 amendments. Now, there is some specific language in there that emphasizes the sacredness of the Second Amendment, but I guess what remains now is to see if the pro-2A people think that this resolution went far enough, or if it didn't go far enough. But that resolution was passed unanimously by commissioners who stuck to their original positions. Some of them were wondering why it was necessary. Some of them were saying it may be necessary in the future, but not right now. Some of them were saying it is necessary right now. Since the resolution has passed, so I suppose we'll really see what the effect of this resolution was at the ballot box.
Fantastic job of reporting, Corey. Thank you for sharing this story with us. Daring more to the story on WNCW, which is also available as a podcast at WNCW.org.
Always glad to be here, Paul.
I'm Paul Foster.